Thanks for checking out the First Monroe Podcast. Our hope is that you are restored by the gospel as you live devoted to Jesus.
So this is probably one of my favorite times of the year is Christmas. I mean, it's something that for me, I always look forward to all year long. I don't know about you. I know if LeBron's in here, he may get mad at me for saying this. But my wife, like for us, Christmas starts November 1st. And so like we have Halloween on October 31st. And the moment we move to November is Christmas time. And so the only thing I don't like about Christmas is getting out all the Christmas boxes and all that kind of stuff. But I love it. I love the sights. I love the sounds. I love Kirsten actually on her phone has like a whole note of all the movies that we're going to watch. And so I love this season. I say all that to say this one thing, but there is one thing that I hate about Christmas, and that is this. I hate that it ends. Like, for some of you, you may be like, that's the best part of Christmas is that it finally ends, you know? But for me, like, that's the thing that I hate most about Christmas is I hate that it ends. Like, and here's what I mean by that. It's like there's this constant build-up to Christmas, right? And so, like, I mean, it's putting the decorations out. It's getting everything ready. It's the sights, the sound, all the things, and then it just ends. Like, Kirsten and I were talking about this, like, it just feels like a bummer. Like, I know for me, growing up, especially as a kid, I think the worst day for me of the whole year is the day after Christmas. Like, it just feels like a dud day. Like, it just, when you think about it, you're like, man, this day's just the worst. I hate that it ends. You know, I was thinking about it, is I think that's one of the things that I think makes life hard, is that we know this reality is that nothing lasts forever. You know, Kirsten and I actually this past spring, we took our kids to Disney World, and it was probably one of the best trips that we've ever had as a family. Like, if you could ever pray for, like, your kids to be the best they've ever, like, I mean, it's crazy. Like, I mean, we just thank God the whole time because our kids were awesome. Like, it was just like one of those things. But I remember we got home, and I was unpacking my clothes in my room, and I remember Kirsten walked in, and she looked at me, and she was like, "Are you crying?" And I mean, just I know people don't think I have emotions or I don't cry or anything, but like I was crying. And I remember I was like, you know, like we had such a great time and there's so many great memories. But like for me, I was like, man, this is like I hate that it ends. And like I just hate that just about just life in general. I hate that things come to an end, that nothing in this life lasts forever. And to me, that's the hard part about life is that there is nothing that lasts forever. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been walking through our series called His Name Shall Be, walking through one of the most famous prophecies about Jesus' birth, which is Isaiah chapter 9. And in this, Isaiah, this is some 700, 800 years before the birth of Jesus, and he's predicting about Jesus' birth and really telling us the hope that will be brought because of Jesus. But we've been walking through this, and so really what I want to do, I just really quickly, is I just want to point out one last thing that this prophecy shows us about the hope that you and I have because of Christmas. So, if you have your Bibles, it's Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to throw it on the screen in verse 6. Here's what it says. "For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And then he says this. "And of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." So if you were with us last week, we walked through the four different names of Jesus. And we showed this at this idea of when Isaiah lists these four different names, is he's telling us who Jesus is and what Jesus Christ came to do. That he is the only thing that can actually fix the sin problem that all of us feel in our hearts. The brokenness that we have, like the only answer to any of these things is actually Jesus Christ. But then Isaiah continues and tells us there's something really important about this promise. He says that Jesus Christ coming to this earth, living the life, dying his death, being resurrected, is that Isaiah is telling us here is what his kingdom will be like. His kingdom will never end. That Jesus Christ coming as the Messiah King, he is the King who will occupy the throne of David forever. In his rule, his kingdom will never end. And so let me just say this. In a world that we live in, this is really good news. In a world where nothing lasts forever, here's what Isaiah is saying, that Jesus Christ is coming to set something up that will last forever. That it will never end. That it will never come, there will never be a moment where it stops, that he's coming to set up this forever kingdom, and that he's inviting you and I to be a part of this kingdom forever. And this is, I'll just say, this is really good news. This is really good news for the people of Israel back then, because if you track back through the history of Israel, there's these kings that would rise up, and they would be a really good king, and then it would be like bad king, bad king, bad king, and then it'd be a good king, and then it'd be like four bad kings in a row. And so like anytime there was any semblance of goodness or peace that existed in Israel, it ended super quick. And here's what he's saying, that Jesus Christ is coming to set up something that will never come to an end. Here's what he's saying, it will last forever. Now, here's a question that I had when I was thinking through this idea that Jesus is coming to set up his forever kingdom that will never end, it will last forever, is what does that mean for us practically? Like, let me just say this, I know we're in church, and so if I say this, man, Jesus Christ has come to set up his kingdom forever. Like, that is really, really good news. But also at the same time, you may be sitting here, yeah, but how does that actually impact me today? Like what is that? Because if you know this reality of Jesus Christ has come. He's come to bring the gospel, to bring restoration to our life, to forgive us of our sins, to restore us. But we notice that he's coming back at some other time to restore all things for good. So we kind of live between this already and not yet. So he's coming to set up his kingdom forever, but we're waiting on him to return. So here's kind of my question. What's the practical implication of this truth that his kingdom will last forever? So here's what I want to do. Just really quickly, I want to point out one implication that I think this means for us that maybe you can take home as you leave, as you go to your families, as you eat, as you do all this. Here's just one really big truth that I want to point out to you, that because Jesus setting up his forever kingdom, here's what that means. It means this, that God's love for you will never end. That here's the hope of Christmas. Jesus Christ being born means this really big truth, that God's love for you will never end. I would just say this, in our lives where so many things come to an end, this is one thing that you and I can count on forever that will never end, and that is God's love for us. Paul actually expresses this idea in Romans chapter 8, and I want to read this for you. He basically points out in Romans 8, he makes this connection between Jesus Christ, his birth, his coming to this earth, and what that practically means, because he is the King of kings, the Messiah, setting up this forever kingdom. He says, practically, here's what this means for you, that nothing in this world will ever be able to separate you from his love. So, look at it. Romans 8, verse 31. Paul says this, what then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, the one who was raised, who is at the right hand of God and is who indeed interceding for us. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to the slaughter. Verse 37, no, in all these things we know that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So here's what Paul's saying. That because Jesus Christ, because God did not spare his own son, that God sent Jesus Christ to be born, to live for us, to die for us, to be resurrected for us, that now because he is the King of kings, seated on his throne, who will rule forever, here's what that means, just a very practical truth. It means this, that there is now nothing in all of creation that will ever be able to separate you from the love of Jesus. That this love of Jesus is forever. Like, here's what I was thinking. Like, just think about this. You will never reach the limit of God's love. Because here's the reality. There is no limit. It is limitless. You'll never get to a point where you're like, God's like, I've run out of love. Like, just think of how crazy that is. Because think about everything in our life. Everything in our life, there is limits, there is conditions, there are things that end, and here's what he's saying. But here's the truth about Christmas, of him coming, is this reality, that his love will never give up on you, nor will his love ever end for you. That it is limitless, that it is powerful, that it is all these things. I want you to listen to this. I love this. You know that I love Paul Tripp, and I want you to hear how Paul Tripp sums up what Paul is saying to us in Romans 8. Here's what he says. If God was willing to send his son to restore our relationship of love with him, you can be sure that he will not let anything separate us from his love. You see, the Christmas story is the best love story. It's about God. It's about a God of love sending the Son of his love to live a life of love, to die a death of love, so that all who believe him would be welcomed into the arms of his love forever and ever. Embedded in the Christmas story is a promise of unbroken love for the children of God. And he goes on to say this: as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, celebrate the unbreakable love that his birth guarantees you. Goodness gracious. I mean, like, what is better than that truth? That because God loved us, actually, Paul actually makes this point in Romans 5. He says this, that God demonstrated his own love toward us, that in while you and I were still sinners, what did it do? Christ came and died for us. Man, this is a huge truth. Like one of the things I usually go on a walk on Sunday mornings early, and I was walking this morning, and I was just trying to, just thinking about this truth, because one of the things that I was praying through, this idea of like that God's love will never run out of us, is I was like, God, for me, for you, like, I don't want to just to hear that truth. Like, God, I want to know that truth. Like, I want to know that truth, that nothing can ever separate me from this love that you have for me. And like, it's like, I love how God does this sometimes. Like, he just kind of takes me on memory lane. I came to know Jesus when I was 7 years old. I said, this is like when God captured my heart. He's never let me go from 7, but I'm 34 now, from 7 to 34, like just thinking all of the ups and downs of my life, like thinking of the good, the bad, thinking of the calling of God on my life, thinking of running from the call of God on my life, like just thinking through the gambit of all that my life has been over these past years, and just to think about this, here's one thing that I can be assured of, that God's love for me never failed, like through it all. Like, let me just say this, like, here's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that God's love is not dependent upon my faithfulness nor my obedience. It's dependent upon Christ's faithfulness and his obedience for me. Like, that's the beauty of the gospel. Is this reality? Because let me just say this, if it was based on your behavior, your obedience, your faithfulness, all of us in this room would be in sore trouble. Because here's the reality, all of us fail, all of us falter, all of us lose our faith, all of us, we struggle with doubts, all these things. And here's what I'm so grateful for, this beautiful truth, that God in his grace loved us enough to send us forth, Jesus. This is the gospel, that man, God loves you, that he didn't want to leave you in your sinfulness and brokenness, and then he gave his one and only son. And so here's what we do when we celebrate Christmas. It's a beautiful time, this busyness, all the things, but here's what I hope you don't miss out of all of it. Is when you think of Christ Jesus coming to be born of the Virgin Mary, I want you to remember this truth. He gave Jesus to you so that you would never be separated from his love ever again. He came to die for your sins so that you would be restored to the Father forever. So practically, here's what that means for us. Here's what that means. In the busyness of this holiday season, and I'm just going to be honest, this may be the first time for you just to stop and actually focus on Jesus the whole season. And let me just give you some really good news. If this is your first time to stop and even think about Jesus, his love still hasn't failed toward you. If you're in this season and maybe you've been in a season struggling with doubt, and you've been struggling with different things in your life, I want you to know this, man, God's love is not giving up on you. If you've been in a season struggling with sin and shame and all these different things, I hope you know this, man, God's love for you is not giving up on you. If this Christmas season is filled with grief and you're holiday season is maybe this year filled with pain, here's what I want you to know this. Man, God's love is so big for you that there is no amount of grief or pain that could ever separate you from God's love for you. That there's nothing, just think about that. There's nothing, I mean, this is the whole point of Paul. Like, there is nothing, nothing in all of creation can ever separate you from the power of God's love in Christ Jesus for you. And I was thinking about, man, here's my hope for you and here's my prayer for you. My prayer is that your Christmas will be filled with this amazing love that God has for you. That is the hope of Christmas, is that God's love for you will never fail. So here's my prayer this morning. I want to give you two things, and I want to give you a moment just for a second to respond to these things. Is one of this thing, I want you to just think about this. If you're here this morning and if you don't know this love, here is my prayer, is that by faith you would believe in Jesus Christ. That you would believe the Christmas story, that God really does love you that much, that God really wants to pull you out of your sinfulness and your brokenness, and God really does love and care for you. And if you don't know that truth, and if you don't know the gospel or know that God loves you, here's my prayer, is that you would receive that by faith this morning, that you would believe and pray and seek and ask God to come and rescue you from who you are. Man, God loves you so much. Again, like what we said earlier, Romans 5:8, God demonstrate his own love for us in that we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. If you don't know Jesus, this is what I was thinking earlier. I know you're at a Christmas Eve service. I got a shortened sermon. I'm almost done. You're like, how did he do it? All these things. But here would be the issue. is that if we just have this cute service with kids singing and sing some Christmas carols and you leave here and you don't know Jesus. And so here's my prayer for you. I just want to just extend this to you. Here's my prayer. I don't want you to miss what's happening here. Is that, man, if you don't know Jesus, it would be a shame for us just to put on a service and say, all right, Merry Christmas, see ya, hope you have a great season. Is this, man, if you don't know Jesus, man, here's my prayer. You come talk to me after the service, man. Come respond in faith to what Christ has done for you. But secondly is this, is that if you do know Jesus this morning, here's what I hope God does for you this morning, is he reminds you of his amazing love for you. To remind you, there is nothing in all of creation that will ever be able to separate you from the love of Jesus. And this Christmas, you would be filled with all of God's love. And that because you are filled with his love, as you are with family and friends, you may be with enemies this year, and you're like, that's what I'm dreading about. Maybe your family is your enemy. I don't know. However it works. But my prayer is that you would be so filled with God's love that it would just begin to spill out of you in every single place that you go this Christmas season. That you would be so filled with God's love. So here's what I want to do. We typically do this at the end of our service, and I want to do it this morning before we sing and respond and all the things. Is I just want to give you a moment of silence just for you just to think, just to respond about what this truth that God's love will never give up on you. And so here's what I ask you. If you just bow your heads. I know we talked about the Christmas season sometimes can be busy and stressful and all the things. And so here's what I want to do. I want to build in a moment right here of just stillness. So in this moment, I just want you just to be still. I just want you to just remind yourself of these truths of Christ's birth, that because of his birth, that his love will never give up on you. And that you would just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, maybe it's to know that love for the first time. Maybe it's just remind you of that love, that maybe that love wouldn't, that knowledge of the love wouldn't just be knowledge in your head, but you would actually experience and encounter God's love for you. So here's what I'm doing. I just want to give you a moment before we sing, before we play, that you would just sit and allow the Holy Spirit just to point these and show you these things about God's love for you.